It's a trip when you see the same body and yet you see another consciousness come through the same body. It's real trippy. And then you realize it never was the body that was the person, it was the consciousness. If you join with somebody in the mind and you really join with somebody in the heart, they'll pretty much throw in the body as a bonus. I've never seen anyone that was in love in a relationship, like a special relationship kind of thing. I've never seen anybody that was in love with another person that didn't want to be with that person completely in a love relationship. So you don't have to try to get the body in a love relationship. That's, you know. Wish I had learned that about 30 years ago. But then I probably wouldn't have had as much fun either. You know, you know what I'm saying? You get so aware that at some point you find that you don't do 90% of the things you used to do because you become aware of how it's going to turn out before you even do it. And so unless you really start to move into love, your life becomes boring because you know better than to do what you did before. And so you still have those opportunities coming up, and then you have to make a choice not to do it this time. Because the once you really decide you want to join with loving minds and not fearful minds, then you know you have to become a loving mind in order to have loving minds around you. But you used to try to have loving minds around you while you still remained a fearful mind. You know, it's like I want to be a person that's really inhibited or not free or not open, and yet I want to attract people who are uninhibited, who are free and who are open. And there's a point on the spiritual path that you get that it doesn't work that way, that you have to be what you want to have. You have to be it. You can't look for it to come to you then change you and make you it, unless it's God. God can pull it off. The higher power can pull it off. The higher power is waiting for us to say, please, I want to give you the power of attorney. Yeah. You can make all, the part of me that loves me and created me, I would like you to make the decisions for what will happen to me. And I also give you the power to overrule any decisions that I might make that might bring me pain.
Wow.
Okay. And as soon as you do that, then 90% of the things that you probably try to do don't work. Because everything you're trying to do is something that wouldn't make you really happy. You see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden it looked like, oh my God, I told the Holy Spirit to decide for me, and that relationship crumbled. I asked the Holy Spirit to decide for me, and I didn't get that job that I thought I was going to get. I asked the Holy Spirit, you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, that job you were going to get might not have been the job that was the best job for you. And that person that you wanted, just because you wanted them, didn't make them necessarily the best person for you. So when you ask spirit to take over, it doesn't mean that you'll get the things that you ask for. It means you'll get the things that are best for you. And then you'll find that you did get the thing that you asked for. Because what you've been asking for is what's best for you. Right? That's what you've been saying. I want what's best for me. Oh, well, there's nothing you're choosing. And there's nobody you've chosen. Then the ego gets all depressed and says, I'm going to throw this book away. Because I'm like a child. And I just want my toys. And that those scissors look really pretty. You know, like a two-year-old child with a pair of scissors. They say, ooh, that looks so pretty. And then you take the scissors away and the child has a hissy fit, as we used to call it when I was a kid. And not just a regular fit. Who's familiar with hissy fit? Hissy fit is when you want to commit babicide. But you know you can't do it. So you don't. Because they're going off, right? But you know as a parent that they will hurt themselves with that pair of scissors. And no matter how much that baby cries, will you give the baby the scissors? No. And that's exactly the relationship of our Creator to us. I don't care how much you think you deserve to be punished or you deserve to suffer, your Creator, according to the Course, ain't gonna do it. Because the negative beliefs that you have about yourself are the scissors that you use today. And And so it might be a relationship with somebody that's not good for me. It may be choosing some kind of career path that's not really good for me. It may not be paying attention to my spiritual identity like I should. It should be some. It might be some fantasy that I think I want. So what do I do with these fantasies and desires that don't seem like they're manifesting? Well, I see them as an appeal for love, for what's real, for what I really deserve, for what's really right for me. So it's not about me feeling guilty about my fantasies. It's just about me now seeing my fantasies as an appeal for love and happiness. So either you get your fantasy, so it seems, or you will get love and happiness. Okay? He said, now how can you better learn of love's reality? How can I learn of the reality of love better than by answering the appeal for it by giving it? Okay? So I can learn that love is real in my life when I give it. Now, I don't like to give love that I learned, because love that I learned from the world always was a sacrifice. It was always, if I love you, then I do something I don't really want to do a lot of times. Sometimes I don't, but most of the times I am, right? So I need to understand that the Course in Miracles says that love means full appreciation. So that means that how can I have the reality of full appreciation, which is what I really want, you know, then by giving full appreciation. So love is full appreciation. Does that sound like a sacrifice? No. Somebody would tell you, I really fully appreciate you, you probably go, wow. When someone says, I really fully love you, you go, oh my God, wow. See, because we got a misperception of what love means, right? So substitute love for full appreciation. I like to say, I love and appreciate you. I want to link those two words together because they're the same. I love and appreciate you. I've never seen anybody have a problem with that. I love you. Sometimes they might have a problem with that. I love and appreciate you. Oh, thank you. So, okay, so here we go. Course in Miracles has given us incredible answers. Love really is real, but I don't know it. How can I become aware of it? Well, the way that I can become aware of it is to see every defense against it, everything that upsets me or makes me afraid, as a call for it. Now, I can learn it even faster if I give it. So I'm going to fully appreciate and call everything else an appeal for full appreciation. So, who can say what I just said?
I love and appreciate you.
Oh, well, great. That wasn't what I was talking about, but see how it comes anyway? I was saying, you know, what was the basic instruction we've been given in order to recognize what we want?
To see everything as love, an extension, or a call for love.
Thank you. Anybody else? You can say the exact same thing she said, but by bringing it back out of yourself, you put it in yourself. Anybody else want to put it in themselves?
When you get upset with something, see that as a call for love.
Thank you.
Somebody else? Gets upset about something,
see that as a call. Somebody else is upset. That's their call for love. Thank you. Mm. Anybody else want to put it in themselves by putting it out of themselves?
Our barriers are our appeal for love.
Thank you. That's right. My barrier is my appeal for love.
Your fear
is an appeal for love.
Anger.
My anger and upset is an appeal for love. So all day long I'm going, help me, love, love, come love, come love, come love, come love, come love. I would venture to say that's most of our thoughts, that most of us are having nothing but call for God thoughts all day. I bet you most all our thoughts are requests. Okay, so let's go to another level of innocence then. Could you take it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a church that instead of saying you are born in sin, we say you're born in innocence. Not exactly full to the rafters. I I'd be so rich if I was a fire and brimstone preacher.
You would.
I can tell you, the Alexis out there instead of me. So but my innocence is much more valuable. Mm-hmm. Because an innocent mind doesn't believe that it deserves to suffer. And you know it's all about what you accept is true and believe. So if I just by the very thought that I'm innocent, I don't attract as much pain and drama into my life. That's all coming from the belief we're guilty and sinful. Mm-hmm.